My name is Alan Morse, and today we're going to have another teaching. And this is going to be a good one. I think this is one that I should have done a long time ago. This is tremendously important, what we're going to talk about today. It's going to be dealing with Satan, or the devil. I think it's tremendously important that we understand Satan's role in the world that we live today. We're going to start in our Bible, so make sure you get your Bibles open, and we're going to start off exactly where Satan first came in to this world and started dealing with God's people. Turn to Genesis, the first book in the Bible. The first book in the Bible, and turn to Genesis chapter 3, and let's look at verses 2. Genesis chapter 3, verses 2. It says, "And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." In verse 4, it says, "And the serpent said unto the woman," this is the devil, "ye shall not surely die." You mean he didn't get any words out of his mouth, hardly any, until he lied. And he says, "You shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that thereof that your eyes will be opened, and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil." Well, that's the first time Satan stepped in, and he pointed these people to sin. And, of course, we know what happened. We know that she took some of the fruit of the tree and she ate it and gave it to her husband. And her eyes were open. Her eyes were open, and they all of a sudden realized that they were naked. And they also knew good and evil. And that good and evil has now been passed down from generation to generation. Everybody that is born today is born with that sin nature, knowing good and evil. And knowing the fact that you have a choice between the two, we find that the majority of the choices go to evil in this world that we live today. And Satan is there to prompt you all the way. He's here totally, constantly with us. Satan is. Let's show you the true power of Satan. Let's go back into the New Testament and go back to Matthew. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, and let's look at verses 8. This is dealing with Jesus is talking with Satan, and Satan says in chapter 4, verses 8, "And again the devil, taking him up, Jesus up, into the exceedingly high mountain, and showing him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them." So he's up in the top of a huge mountain where he could survey the whole area, and he saw all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And he saith unto him, "All these things I will give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." And of course Jesus said unto him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written that thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." But you see, did he have this world to give to him? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And he still has it. He is totally ahead of all the worlds, all the power in the world, all the worlds, the kingdoms of this world are in his hands to this very minute. And people don't understand that. And boy, I learned it the hard way. And it's just beyond our imagination how subtle and how of a liar this person is, this Satan is. I want to tell you a story, and the story is based on history, but it's all also truth. We know that Titus, in 70 A.D., Titus came down, and he was a general, a Roman general, and he destroyed Jerusalem, totally destroyed it. This is just a couple of years after the death of Paul and also after the death of Peter. And he destroyed Jerusalem. He destroyed the temple. Totally tore it to apart. And he killed over a million Jews. This is history. This has happened. And he scattered them all over the world, the Jews. And we know Satan was ahead of it. No doubt. He was happy that this happened. Because he wanted to destroy God's people. And the Jews were God's people as far as Satan was concerned. And he destroyed them. And then we find that Nero, who was the head of Rome at that time, the government was just falling apart. His country was falling apart because it was just like our country is doing today. They spent more money than they had, and they made, and they taxed all the people that were rich until they didn't have any more money to give them. And so Nero got mad one night, and he just sent all his people out, and they just burned the whole city of Rome. This is history, and he did it. He burned the whole Rome, the whole city, and he blamed it on the Christians. He blamed it on the Christians. And these Christians, who were they? They were Paul's people, the people that believed the gospel. And he captured them, and he crucified them by the hundreds and thousands. He lit them up on like torches on poles and lit up the whole city. They burned them to death. And he fed them to the lions. This was horrible. They just couldn't keep coming out of the woodwork. There were just more and more Christians, and the more he persecuted them, the more they came. Finally, Satan realized, you know, and then guess what was happening? All these people that were dying, these Christians were going to heaven, and Satan didn't like that. He didn't want that to happen. He wanted them to go to hell. And it didn't do any good to kill them, because they just go directly to be in heaven with the Lord. So what did he do? He joined the church. He joined the church. He was going to somehow get the church so that these people couldn't be saved. How do you say that, Al? What is this term to 2 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians. And it's chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And I'm going to show you how Satan did it. And is doing it. Look at verses 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13. It says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." Think about that. Transforming themselves. These are Satan's people, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And it says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing for his ministers," Satan's ministers, "also be transformed into ministers of righteousness." Ministers of righteousness, "whose end shall be according to their works." You see, Satan he's joined the churches. He's joined the churches. And the pastors in those churches are ministers of righteousness. If they're not preaching the gospel, they're ministers of righteousness. If they're pointing to Jesus for your salvation, they're ministers of righteousness. They're Satan's people. And they've been blinded, totally blinded. Because, see, Satan does not want anybody to go to heaven. They want them to go to hell. And so that's why he's pointing these ministers of righteousness to point people their salvation by Jesus. Well, Al, that's ridiculous. You know, it is not ridiculous. Jesus himself told us that our salvation is not based on who he was. It's based on what he did. And that's the gospel. The gospel that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. That's salvation. And Satan is doing everything he can do to keep that to being taught. He's doing everything. He's blinding the people. Why would he fight the gospel so much? Because it's the only way people can be saved, and he don't want people saved. And so what he does, he has his ministers of righteousness pointing us to Jesus for our salvation. You see, that's Judaism. When you believed in Jesus, you were saved if you were a Jew. But when the Jews totally rejected God or Jesus and crucified him, when he came back to start a new church, and this new church that he started in the body of Christ, which he is the head of the body of Christ, he pointed to what he did on that cross for salvation, not who he was. He pointed to the gospel, and that's the only thing that Paul preached was the gospel. Just look at while we're here, I'll prove that to you. Let's look at the 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It says, if our gospel be hidden, what's our gospel? That Christ died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose from it. If that be hidden, it is hidden to them that are lost. You see, if you don't know, believe in the gospel, you're lost. And I didn't say that. The book did. They're lost. If they don't believe the gospel, if that gospel is hidden to you, and you're not trusting in the gospel for your salvation, you're lost. It says, in whom the God of this age, who's the God of this age? We just found out who owned this country, who this world. He could give it to Jesus. He could have given it all back to Jesus, but he had had to bow down to him, but he wasn't going to do that. The God of this age, what did he do? He has blinded the minds of them who believe not. Believe not what? The gospel. He's blinded their minds so they would not believe these people that did not believe the gospel. Why? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. You see, Satan is out there doing everything he can do to keep people from going to heaven. And the way he's done it, he's joined the church with his ministers of righteousness. They're preaching Jesus, 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 and never mentioned the gospel for salvation. Because they've been blinded by Satan. And he's doing it, and he's done it. He did it to me. I spent my whole life in church and never heard the gospel preached once. And I heard it from a man by the name of Les Felick that gave it to me. And as soon as I heard it, I believed it. And my whole life changed. My whole life changed. We'll show you how Satan hinders us. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. Turn to 1 Thessalonians. Go to the right, and let's look at verses chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and let's look at verses 18. Therefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once again, but Satan hindered us. Satan is involved in the works of hindering people who dealing with the gospel. And I know that for a personal fact. Because all I do is preach and teach the gospel. And I mean, he's on me, I always call it like stink on a skunk, constantly. But that's okay. I have the Lord in me, and we can handle it. He can handle it. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6. Turn back to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, and let's look at verses 11. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. See, he knows the devil's out there. And we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand it in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about you with truth, and having a breastplate of righteousness. What's truth? It's always the gospel when Paul talks about it. And your feet should be shod in the preparation of what? The gospel. When you have the gospel, you can stand the wiles of the devil. You can stand the wiles of the devil, but he's there. He's just there. He's just proved it. It's in the Word of God. He's there. He's bothering us constantly. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. No, excuse me. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Go to 1 Timothy. We'll go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 6. He's talking now to how to have ministers and how to pick out ministers, and tell them about what they should do. He said, but don't pick a novice. Not a novice. That's somebody that's new in the gospel. Lest they be lifted up in pride, and he shall fall into the condemnation of the devil. You see, he's the first person the devil deals with is pastors. If he can point the pastors to preaching Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John 95% of the time, he's got it made. And he has. That's what the people say. That 95% of the preachers preach in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they have nothing in there for the church. There's nothing there. There's no there, because he was talking directly to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He wasn't talking to us. And our whole way of life, everything is different than the Judaism. And we're totally different. We're not Jews. We're not of Judaism whatsoever. And so that's where the devil goes. He points everybody to Judaism because there's no salvation for the church in Judaism. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1. Now the Spirit speaketh especially that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from foods which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving by them who believe and know the truth. What's the truth that Paul talks about? It's the gospel. Everything that he talks about is truth. It's talking about the gospel. Now let's turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. This is something that probably most people never saw. I sure didn't. I never saw any of these things taught from the pulpit in 70 years of my life. At least 68 or 9 anyway. In fact, I never heard these things taught. Never have yet, because I haven't found a church that even believes the gospel yet. It says here, verses chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1. It says, "Thou, therefore, my son," he's talking to Timothy, "be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ, and the things that thou hast heard from me." What did they hear from him? The gospel. "Among many witnesses, the same commit thou to" who? "To faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." You see, all 1 Timothy was choosing pastors and deacons and people involved in the church. And their job was to teach the gospel. But all of a sudden now we see that he's going to go past this. Because he knows that the pastors and the churches, for somehow he knows from the Holy Spirit, they aren't going to be teaching the gospel. So he said, you need to go to faithful men. And when I read that, I knew who he was talking about. I was given the gospel, not from a preacher, not in a church. I heard it from a man by the name of Les Feldick. And he was an Oklahoma farmer. He raises cattle. And he teaches the gospel. And he's a faithful man. And probably hundreds of thousands of people have come to know Christ because of him. Because they aren't getting in the church. And Paul says, give it to faithful men. And he's doing it. He is a faithful man. And that's what I'm trying to do myself. Because I'm preaching the gospel. And I'm going to it till the Lord takes me home. Now look at these verses. I bet you never heard. These were never told you. Look at verses 24. And listen to these very, very carefully. It says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle." He's talking about these faithful men. "Be gentle to all men, apt to teach, patient, and in meekness, instructing those that oppose him." Wow, I mean, Les Feldick and he, myself, have tremendous opposition. I mean, because Satan has blinded all these people, and they just can't comprehend it. I talked to a pastor, "Well, I just can't believe that believing in Jesus isn't the same thing." Well, it isn't. It's not the same thing. But anyway, he opposed me, for sure. But it says, "In meekness, instructing those that oppose me." Oppose this faithful man. He says, "And if God, perhaps, if God will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth." What's the knowledge of the truth? Well, it's the gospel. And let me prove it so that there's no ifs, and buts. Keep your hand here. And you just turn back to Ephesians. Ephesians. I think I've taught on this before, but there may be somebody that hasn't heard it. Turn to Ephesians. Galatians and then Ephesians. Chapter 1, and let's look at verses 12. That we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. What's the word of truth? The gospel. The gospel of your salvation. And also after you believed. Believe what? The gospel of your salvation. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. What's the gospel? That Christ died for your sins, that He was buried, and He rose from the dead. That's the gospel. And when you believe that, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. And he calls it the word of truth. So when He talks about truth, He's talking about the gospel. So it says in verse 25, back in 2 Timothy, in meekness instructing those that oppose Him, if God perhaps would give them repentance to the knowledge of the gospel, that they would go to the knowledge of the gospel, and that they may recover themselves out of what? The snare of the devil, who has taken captive by him at his will. You see, these pastors today are taken captive by the snare of the devil. The devil has totally deceived them to preach another salvation other than what Jesus told us to preach. It's just hard to believe such a thing, but it's the truth. It's the truth. I couldn't imagine it, but the book says it. The book says it. It's the devil is involved in it tremendously to point people away from the gospel. And he's hoping that they will have a repentance and come to the knowledge of the truth. And that's my prayer for everybody that hears my word. Let's turn to show you how important this gospel is. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians. Just go back. Just back to just a couple pages. 2 Thessalonians. And let's look at verses 7. Chapter 1, verses 7. And it says, in flaming fire, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels. When is this? This is just after the tribulation. Just after the tribulation. He's going to be revealed with His mighty angels. Verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon them who know not God and obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. For those who know not God and obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What do you mean by obey the gospel? Well, Paul told us that he got the gospel directly from Jesus Christ, Galatians chapter 1, verses 11. He didn't get it from man. He wasn't taught it. He got it directly from the Lord Jesus. And He gave this gospel for him to preach for salvation for the church. And He said in Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, He said, anybody who teach any other gospel that I've taught you, He said, let him be accursed. He said it twice. And he told us to obey the gospel for our salvation. And the gospel, is that Christ died for your sins, that He was buried and He rose from the dead. And when you do not believe that for your salvation, you're not obeying Jesus. And if you don't obey Jesus and you don't obey His gospel, it says, who shall be punished to the everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and of His power. Think about that. That's how important the gospel is. Turn to Romans chapter 2. Back to the left, to Romans chapter 2. And we'll probably have to close with this one. But what I'm showing you is what the book says. It's not what I say. It's what the book says. Romans chapter 2 and verses 16. Romans chapter 2, verses 16. It says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. When is that going to be? When is God going to judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ? That's the great white throne judgment. You see, that's when all the non-believers of this whole world, from Adam to the last person on this earth, all non-believers are going to stand before Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ. The great white throne judgment, The great white throne judgment. They're going to stand before them. What are they going to be judged by? What does the book say? By my gospel or Paul's gospel. They're going to stand up there and God's going to... Jesus is going to judge each and every one of them. And they're going to be judged by his gospel. Did they believe Paul's gospel for salvation? And of course, none of them did. That's why they're there. And they will all end up in the lake of fire. If you don't believe the gospel for your salvation, you're going to be standing in the great white throne judgment. Let's pray. Father, I truly pray that everybody that heard these words realizes that they aren't my words or your words. These words come directly from your Bible. And that, God, you'd wake them up, open up their minds that somehow, some way, that they could see the error of their life. I know it's hard for them. I had to face it myself. But the Word shows us as plain as day. And the people, we have just been deceived by Satan, by the millions of so-called Christians, and they wonder why their problems they have. They just don't have Jesus living in them. I just pray that they would receive the gospel for their salvation, they'd be filled with the Holy Spirit, and their lives would be totally changed, and they'd walk with you the rest of their life. I pray that in Jesus' precious name, amen.